Well, here we are on location. Aaron Craig has joined the Australia. Alex left you because we continue our intrepid jaunt around some of the fantastic sites and the jewels of North Yorkshire. We're very lucky enough now to be chatting to a legend, somebody who's become legendary since we actually did a first feature on her Adopt a Pig scheme, of course. We're talking about Lucy Hexton. Lucy, good to see you.
Hello, thank you very much. That's quite a privilege.
Well, indeed, because Lucy is the first time we're actually featuring Lucy on one of our new digital recording devices here, just to explain. And if you're not interested in that, well, it doesn't matter about it. Lucy, describe where we are at present.
We're in our farmhouse kitchen at the moment, and I think we're about to go out and see some pigs shortly. So that's where we are.
Yeah, Lucy's just actually made us two fantastic cups of coffee and also introduced us to two wonderful canine folk who actually came and one of them's actually guarding the official South Side outside broadcast bag there, which is excellent.
Excellent.
Name checks, Lucy?
Bumble and Bess.
Fantastic. Okay, Aaron, we met Bumble and Bess. Bumble's obviously there. Don't know where Bess is. Questions for Lucy?
Hi, Lucy. Just tell us a little bit about how you got into this side of farming, because what did you do before? What was the place being used for before that, and how you got into this sort of this side of farming?
Well, basically, we were living over in Ripon before, and we had a few pigs to fatten, some weaners, and we wanted to buy a property, so we were sort of on the lookout for somewhere to buy, wanted somewhere with some land, and found this place, which had been empty for about 6 years. And then came across an article actually in the Yorkshire Post about someone who did the Adopt a Pig scheme, and he was the one who started it, Duncan Turnbull. And he wanted to do something different and was basically going out of pigs, so we contacted him and things went on from there. So,
and how's it gone since you first started up then? Has it gone from strength to strength?
Yeah, no, it's going really well. We're definitely learning a lot on the job because we hadn't done any breeding or anything before, and sort of, yeah, so you sort of learn as you go along, really. But yeah, we've got quite a few pigs adopted.
Of course, some really exciting news as well. You're also branching into the bed and breakfast scenario, and that should be open sometime in 2011, I believe.
We are indeed. Our aim was to be open by April, but I think it might be the end of April, beginning of May. So, yeah, we're going to have three rooms, the idea being that when people want to come and visit their pig or collect their meat, they can also come and stay here and have a delicious breakfast. So,
fantastic. I feel as though I'm stepping into one of those Enid Blyton Famous Five things here. I almost expect to have lashings of ginger beer to one side.
Excellent.
In a few moments, we're going to be having a little wander around, and you're listening to Southside Broadcasting in association with Ather & Co, obviously on location with the, is it best to say the Adopt a Pig scheme, or is it the official, the Hexton household? How would you define the whole thing?
Whatever, the pig lady is what my husband sometimes called me.
Well, we'll just hope, we'll stick with that for the moment. Okay, so we're making those first initial steps outside now with Aaron, and also accompanied by Bumble. And Aaron, can we remember the name of the other?
Sort of? I remember Bumble, but I can't remember the other one.
We remember Bumble because Bumble is three-legged Bumble, doing wonderful stuff here. And we're just coming into, is this the sort of the main food area, Lucy?
Yeah, this is a feed room. It's a 20-foot steel container, so it's rodent-proof. And dog-proof as well, seeing as they sometimes try and get in here.
There is that notion that, you know, you can see that they're outside, effectively just sort of, allegedly sort of looking quite calm, but I'm sure their little canine minds are thinking, how can we actually work this out?
We also have a goat, actually, who's pretty free-range, and she sometimes pops her head around the door as well. But we've actually just put her out in the field with the sheep, so to keep her out of the way.
And just a reminder, we remember Bumble, of course, because of the three legs, but the other chap is...
she's a girl, actually, she's Bess.
Bess, there we are, you see. Yes, exactly. For some reason, I had Stinger. I was totally unemployment there, but still, never mind. Okay, so talk us through where we are now as we're sort of looking through this whole thing.
Well, we are on the farm about to go and see some pigs. All our pigs are kept outdoors. We keep the litters together, so... the sows, there's three sows together, and then we have three litters as well.
When we've covered farming activities in Cumbria and obviously Lincolnshire and so on, we're always struck by how blessed we actually are in Britain about the land. I mean, people sort of complain about the weather and various other bits and pieces, but I would have thought at times here, Lucy, when you look around and see some of the fantastic scenery you've got here, it's a really nice place to be.
Yeah, no, definitely. I couldn't imagine doing a 9-to-5 job anymore. Really do appreciate it every day, even though it's it's the norm.
Indeed so. And Aaron, I suppose from your own point of view, in terms of the chefing side of things, this is where the raw materials come from, really, isn't that right?
This is it. This is the very most important thing, as we said before and on the radio, but you know, a lot of people don't know where the actual food comes from, and it's a really good scheme, and that's what really drew me to it when I said it. You know, this is where people, especially kids, because a lot of kids I work with and stuff don't even know where food comes from, and this is a cracking way to actually learn from sort of from field to plate. So it's really, really good.
Exactly, providing the location in full force there. I'm very impressed by how Bumble's keeping up with us, hopping along in all sorts of wonderful ways. This is great stuff there, passing a series of hens, etc. I mean, presumably you're totally self-sufficient here, Lucy.
Well, I suppose you could say that, yeah. We need to get the veg patch going. As I said, this place hasn't been lived in for 6 years, so we're kind of trying to do the house first, but then the veg patch will be next. And then a bit closer to self-sufficiency.
Is there a kind of grand scheme that's in place where you kind of started off when you decided to actually purchase, let's say, right, by year one we want to have this done, by year two this is where we're heading from, etc.? Or is it slightly a case of seat of the pants at times?
Probably more seat of the pants. No, I think we were just sort of in the right place at the right time for everything, and everything just seems to have slotted into place. The house first, and then the opportunity of the pigs, and you know, a new business, and it's great, and I think it really lends itself to the property.
Now we're looking at a whole area which has got various shapes of things in there, including a birdhouse, presumably for birds, or is it for very well trained trotters and things?
No, actually, that was my husband's invention. What we're looking at is probably about a 4-5 foot tree stump with a hen house mounted on the top, and a what do you call that?
I'm just looking
branch,
at Gus. Yes, it is. Yeah.
To get the hens to the top. Unfortunately, the hens are slightly overwhelmed by it and can't actually get up there. So we might have to rethink the idea. But the idea is so the fox won't get them.
I was thinking there must be a rationale for this, and surely a kind of a penthouse for hens, you know, sort of various other things should be there. Well, I was right in terms of, I'm quite pleased with myself, Aaron. Actually, I recognised it was something for the birds.
That's right. That's what it looks like, a penthouse. It's a good idea, though.
Yeah, I thought it was probably just a bit too small for the pigs. And these other things that we're actually looking for or looking at.
Yep, I think we've got some. We've got three piglets in here, and if I just shake the bucket, they might come out. Just one sec.
This isn't going to be exciting. The shaking of the bucket. Oh, my word! It's like a Pavlovian reflex. There, we're getting the sort of the piglets in full force. My word! They're all in force here. Quick word from the pigsies. Yes, I think they're very happy, Lucy.
They're happy pigs, especially now they've just got a bit of food.
Absolutely, all good stuff. And do we have names for these three?
We do. One, oh God, there's a question.
Have they all been adopted?
Two have been adopted, and one I think is going to be for a hog roast.
Well, there we are. We won't say which one's for the hog roast, because obviously, no, don't worry, it might not be you. Then again, it may be, in which case, great honour. Okay, we've just seen actually a collection of pigs who, in Aaron's inimitable words, haven't got much time left. I would have kept very quiet actually when the pigs are actually sort of around from that point of view, because I'm thinking Dr. Doolittle here. Lucy, rare breeds, this is something which we've spoken about before, and obviously the importance of what you're actually doing here from a conservation point of view. Just explain the breed of pig we're looking at.
They are Oxford Sandy and Black pigs. They are ginger with black spots, very attractive looking pigs, and produce very tasty pork and very tasty bacon as well.
Previous years at the Lincolnshire show, we've seen, obviously, I think the Lincolnshire saddleback, which is fairly recognisable because it looks like as though it's got a saddle on its back from that point of view. It's interesting again to see, obviously, the response. I mentioned it was like Pavlovian, but obviously they know when their food's coming.
Oh, they do, yeah. Yeah, no, they were just all sleeping in the ark about a minute ago, shook the bucket, and they've all emerged.
You said sleeping in the ark here. Are we expecting very wet meteorological conditions?
I don't know. Maybe they sense something that we don't know.
Aaron?
Yeah, just touch on the sort of rare breed side, Lucy, because it is very important that we use these animals and take them through the adopt a pig scheme, where you actually end up eating the pig as well, because these rare pigs would not be about if we didn't use them, or we'd lose the breed, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you'll see in a few years ago, the commercial, well, some of the rare breeds have gone extinct because of the commercial pigs taking over. People wanting to fatten pigs quickly and produce a commercial pork. These pigs are fattened to about 26 weeks and they're free range, they're outside, they enjoy life and produce a really tasty product.
When we've spoken to Neil Curtis, Curtis of Lincoln, of course, in the past, he was often commenting on when you actually see the slices of the bacon and the cuts and all the rest of its pieces. People don't like fat, but it's the fat that actually gives the flavour. Do you kind of get a balance here when you're actually breeding the actual pigs for obviously the quality of the cut and obviously what people's aesthetic choices are?
Yeah, I think you'll find, actually, people are a bit wary of fat, but once you...
Don't want a heart attack, do you?
No, obviously you don't, but it does seriously add the flavour, and that is what the rare breed is all about. And when you cook the... Sorry, I'm just being nibbled by a pig.
I was very impressed with your style and panache, by which obviously it has to be pointed out, dear listener, these pigs are not cannibals, at least as far as we're aware. They're not actually the piranhas of the pig world, which is an interesting sort of possible horror theme. Anyway, Lucy, I digress.
Sorry, yes, the fat on the pigs. When you cook the meat, the fat turns into the most amazing crackling, and it is absolutely delicious. It's not the chewy stuff that you would get from your supermarket pork. It is the melt-in-your-mouth, proper crackling. It's delicious.
You're nodding there, Aaron.
Yeah, true. I love the crackling. We get it right, and it's really, really good. And as the thing, as Lucy said there, you know, that's what the fat gives it the flavour, so it's very important that even if you cook it with the fat on, and then if you want to trim it up after, so be it, but keep the fat on there, for God's sake, and keep it nice and tasty.
Keep the fat on there, for God's sakes. I never thought I'd heard that sort of phrase being used. On another serious note, Lucy, I mean, the thing that comes across very much from looking at the range of pigs you've actually got here is that they do look genuinely contented and happy, and that certainly can't be said about some of the more large-scale operations where clearly they might not even see the light of day.
Yeah, no, definitely. These pigs are, well, they're just like pets to us, to be honest, and I know some people probably think, well, why would you want to eat your pet? But, you know, that's why we have pigs and that's what they're for, and if we didn't breed them for food, then they wouldn't be here. But they are very content. You can see they're happy, they're eating away, digging up the ground, they're loving it.
It's just a fabulous time. Aaron, any other questions?
Yeah, just touching on the final product, really. The people get to choose and what they want and how they want it, and the specification they want as well, isn't that right, Lucy?
Yeah, they do. It's something that we let people do. They can also opt for any sort of offal they want as well. Someone wanted the ears the other day. I was a bit... wondered why he did want them, and I did ask him actually when he came to collect the pig.
Good question, Lucy. I mean, you can't be handing out ears to anybody, is it? Van Gogh.
No, it's for his dogs, for friends' dogs. But yeah, as I said, you can choose exactly how you want your meat, and if you're not that au fait with sort of the cuts of different meat, then we'll help you with that. We do 7 different types of sausages, flavours of sausages, with natural skins and very little rusk, so it's a really meaty sausage, really delicious.
Very familiar, clearly, with the Lincolnshire sausage, and in Yorkshire, one of the big success stories recently was obviously Debbie and Andrew's sausage brand, etc. Do you have a brand yourself? Are we getting to the stage where we'll actually have the Lucy Hexton sort of brand of sausage coming through?
Well, it's all branded under Yorkshire Meat, so it's all, you know, that's the selling point, is that it's rare breed pork and, yeah, tasty pork. So we have rebranded, but it's still under the Yorkshire Meats.
Well, we'll certainly find out our website details and a few other bits and pieces, including details of how you can actually adopt a pig, should you so choose. Interestingly enough, one of the pigs makes a bite for the ear of another pig. So clearly there's a new delicacy here in terms of pigs liking ears and various other bits and pieces. But for the moment, you're listening to Southside Broadcasting and Siren 107.3 FM on location at the Yorkshire Meats base just outside Malton in North Yorkshire.